afternoon again, everyone. I'm Chad Holmes, and welcome back. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. This Tuesday afternoon weather-wise is pretty much like what we've had for a number of days. It seems like the weather really doesn't change. The temperature hanging around again in the mid to upper 20s throughout the area. Got overcast skies. Got just a normal January day that just seems to be every single day. And to find out whether or not we will see any changes anytime soon, we're joined from weatherology.com by our meteorologist, Ray Miller. And Ray, again, it just feels like the weather doesn't really change too much recently.
Yeah, it kind of feels like I could just record one forecast and just put it on loop for the rest of the week and go on vacation. But we do have some changes on the way as we head into the weekend. A pretty big drop in temperatures on the way. Cloudy for the rest of the afternoon, highs in the upper 20s, winds out of the southwest, and about 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight with a low temperature of 20 degrees. Wednesday, snow showers, not much accumulation, high temperature of 28. Thursday, cloudy at 24. Friday, a good chance of snow. Could see a little bit of accumulation out of that. Still not looking like anything major, but a couple of inches not out of the question. Highs in the upper 20s, and then temperatures plunge heading into the weekend. Cloudy Saturday, high temperature of 12 degrees. Cloudy on Sunday with a high temperature of 6. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller.
That is change, I tell you that much. That is a big dip in temperatures after the little chance of snow on Friday. But do we expect that cold weather to hang around for any length of time, or is it just basically a weekend thing?
No, at least for the first couple of days of next week, we'll likely see single-digit highs as well. Beyond that, some indications it'll warm up a little bit, but as you know, we often have a fairly prolonged cold spell at some point in January. Here it seems to be coming at the end of the month.
Okay, Ray, well, thanks for the information. Have yourself a great rest of your day, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
I'll see you then.
Right now in Wausau at our studios on East Wausau Avenue, I see a little bit of sunshine, actually, as I look behind my left shoulder. Otherwise, still plenty of clouds out there, mostly cloudy, and a high of 29 degrees. Winds are out of the southwest at 7 miles per hour, so the wind chill is 22. Dew point of 19, relative humidity of 66%, the barometer at 30.04 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. I am Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up in about 5 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Wausau District 3 Alder Tom Killian. We'll be talking about his work on the Wausau City Council, talk about homelessness issues. He's trying to push forward at least the start of some discussion, and I think it's very, very important. Also, some environmental issues. And I want to ask him about transparency, because I do think that that is an issue that sometimes we don't talk about enough when it comes to government. I think if there's more transparency, more sunshine on what is going on, it makes for better government and helps the citizens who are being served as well. So again, Tom Killian coming up at 3:15, District 3, Wausau Council Alder. Also, don't forget tonight, we got a very busy night of high school sports. Tom Weaver will be heading over to Edgar for the Marathon Red Raiders. Red Raider boys right now tied with Newman Catholic atop the Merrillwood Conference South Division. Marathon is at Edgar in high school boys hoops. Tom will be on the air with the pregame show at 6:50, and then the opening tip is set for 7:15 right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. I will be heading to Wisconsin Rapids this evening. Wausau West Warrior Hockey. Warriors one game back of Stevens Point in the conference race. Take on the Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln Red Raiders. I will be on the air live online only. Again, please note, live online only. Go to BullFallsRadio.com. Click on Sports Stream 2, and you'll be able to hear the game live, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening face-off at 7 p.m. That game will also air here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, on a tape delay basis following our coverage of Marathon basketball at Edgar. And finally, also tonight, if you're a Newman Catholic High School boys basketball fan, the Cardinals will be on our Civic Media sister station, WIRI, out of Wisconsin Rapids, 105.5 FM. Also online at wiscountry.com. That's WIScountry.com. And mobile devices by searching WIRI. Newman Catholic at Assumption tonight, starting at 7:10. So a lot of high school sports involving Marathon, Wausau West, and Newman Catholic, either here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 or on our Civic Media sister station, WIRI 105.5 FM. And don't forget as well, get the Civic Media app, and you'll have an opportunity to tune in starting at 7 o'clock to the State of the State address. Todd Albaugh and Terry Bell will have special Civic Media coverage starting at 7 o'clock on many of the Civic Media radio stations and on the Civic Media app as well. We need to take a quick timeout and then come back and have our guest from the City of Wausau, District 3 Alder, Tom Killian. He's straight ahead. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Yet a few rays of sunshine. We have not seen much of that recently. Temperature of 29 degrees. Time is 3:15. And very happy to welcome into studio for the first time, District 3 Alder for the City of Wausau, Tom Killian. And Tom, first of all, thank you very much for popping on over.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Chad.
Absolutely. And I know that it's a busy Tuesday because you have a meeting coming up later on tonight. And we'll maybe touch on what's on the agenda for that. Sure. But wanted to come in and just talk about a number of different issues with you because you've been, you know, very, I think, active on the board. But before we talk about issues, I want to put out one word: transparency. And I was reading up a bit on you, and that's something that you are focused on as well. And I've said it before we went on the air that for government to have transparency, it makes it work better, doesn't it, for the folks serving and for the folks that you are serving as well?
Absolutely, Chad. And I think it really helps facilitate public participation. And without the transparency, there's often a lack of awareness. And without awareness, it's hard for citizens to know, what they might want to be involved in or participate in.
Let me ask you a few basic questions for our listeners so we can kind of line things up. District 3, what part of city is District 3?
Sure. It's an interesting district in that it resides on both sides of the river. So it goes mostly on the west side to 4th Avenue, although near 6th Avenue and parts. And on the east side, it pretty much follows the railroad tracks there around 7th Street. And then north there past Fulton, on the west side, down south to Chella. So quite a large, diverse district in many ways.
How many terms, what term are you in right now?
Sure. This is rather early on in my second term.
What have you learned? Because obviously when you join a group like the council early on, you have ideas on what to expect. What have you learned so far during your tenure on the city council?
Sure. Well, you know, I've learned that it is possible to move the needle on important issues, even if it takes a great deal of time and in certain instances, and that it's also important, and I wouldn't say this was a learning, but maybe a confirmation after being on the council, to stay close to the ground and true to the motivations that brought you into office. I think that intimacy with the people is necessary to remember why you're there and why you went in to begin with.
That's an interesting point. I was reading a story earlier today, in fact, on a United States senator who came into office with very little money, and now she's worth more than $11 million. And a lot of her rhetoric from back early in the career has changed. How difficult is it once you get into office? Because I think we all go into a position with high expectations and maybe a little bit of purity, for lack of a better term. Is it difficult to stay true to the core, or is that, you know, is it not that hard?
Well, I would say personally, it's not difficult. There is sometimes a political price for doing so. But for me, it's very important to, I think, stay true to those reasons that we went in. And, you know, I think at any level of government in any political realm like that, you know, there's going to be kind of the established model and the power establishment. So even if you stay true to your core, I mean, that may come with pushback at times, but I believe it's a price worth paying.
Is there a lot of pushback? I'm not talking all specifics, but just generally, is there a lot of get on to get on kind of feelings at times within a government organization? I'm not just talking about here, but I just think that sometimes there's a sense, just come on, you know, get on the boat and go in the right direction. Is there a lot of that kind of stuff that makes it maybe a little more difficult?
Sure, and to be fair to the current council and administration, I think historically that's always existed in Wausau, and many, if not most people who, you know, were born here or spent a lot of time here, you know, they talk often about the good old boys culture in town, and that's more than an urban legend. So with that established power structure, with sometimes a select few, you know, it's not unusual to see pushback when reform is brought up.
Again, we're talking to Tom Killian, District 3 Wausau City Alder, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Along the lines of talking about getting things done, because I say this often, that anybody that decides to put their hat in the ring and serve within our system of government deserves an incredible amount of appreciation, because the system doesn't work unless people decide to get involved. And there's many different ways to get involved. I mean, you can get involved within government council or within outside the council and pushing forward. What made you decide this was the best way for you to get some important issues that you believe that need to be worked on passed? I mean, because there are different ways of being involved. What ultimately made you say, hey, this is something that I would like to do and also something that I think I could do well?
Sure. Well, great questions. And in District 3, some of the reasons and motivations for running for office were very specific. And, you know, there had been the Thomas Street project, which started one way or another at the turn of the century, and a lot of challenges and hardships for people in the district. And that ultimately overlapped with what emerged as some serious environmental concerns and revelations. And I feel like over the years, you know, we had a multi-term incumbent, I think 5 terms, and there had been an effort by people in the district to reach out and express their concerns and get a response. And I feel like there was concern that there wasn't really the responsive representation. Nothing personal, but, you know, people had hoped there was more of a response to their input and concerns. And so it felt ultimately, because these things were ongoing, that it was a matter of necessity to take it to the inside if we weren't having sufficient impact on the outside as citizens.
Interesting. I promise you we're going to talk about specific issues, but it's great to, I enjoy finding out why folks get involved, because there's, I think, probably good aspects to it, and there's not such good aspects. When you talk about, you know, being close to the ground, how often do you interact with the folks of your district? How do you go about it to make sure that they know that you're available, and maybe how you reach out as well?
Sure. Well, I interact very often with the district, literally on the ground. So when the Wisconsin weather accommodates, you know, it's not unusual. Like when it's not winter, I usually take 2 walks a day, each in the district, trying to interact with as many people as possible. And, you know, I've been on the city website and so forth. I've chosen to keep all of my contact information on there, the personal phone number, the city email, the address, because I want people to be able to reach out. And I get multiple contacts a week through the different media, you know, whether it's a phone call or email. And it feels like citizens are comfortable reaching out. I try to, through any communication channel that's appropriate and possible, disseminate information. Sometimes that's on social media to the public when necessary as well.
Are most of the communications positive? I mean, we live in this era where we hear a lot about the tilt left and right and some anger from time to time. Most of the time, is it positive for you?
Yes, it is, you know, and I think that's something special about local and municipal level government. You know, you see a little bit less of the spectrum division. And I think,
vitriol.
Yeah, whether someone's kind of an elephant donkey or elephonky, right. You know, these decisions directly impact our lives, our family, our neighbors, our children, the schools. So, I mean, it's much less of a petri dish for partisan politics, thankfully.
And that is an interesting point, because when you talk about, and we're going to talk about these issues, so many of them should not be partisan at all. I mean, when you talk about either clean water or I would say homelessness, that should not be a partisan issue as well. For the issues that you do deal with, how much would you call them, you know, good government issues? How much is nonpartisan that really, that what people, if people would wonder what you deal with?
Sure. You know, the issues I've been focusing on, I'd say they're 100% good government, nonpartisan issues. And I think so are all of the critical issues the municipality is dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Again, talking to Tom Killian, District 3 supervisor for the Wausau City Council. Let's jump in. We got a couple of minutes before a break, so we'll continue after our news update. But one of the issues that kind of caught my eye in terms of recently with you is the homelessness issue, that you decided that this needs more discussion. Could you kind of give us an idea, number one, how you got involved with the issue, where you've got your information from, and then we'll start to discuss about how you've gone about it within the council to try to move things forward.
Sure, absolutely. And so we have a rule now with the council that if two council members request a committee of the whole on a particular topic, then it goes to the council for consideration, as you, I think, saw. And if it's voted, if it's approved, then it can move forward as a committee of the whole. So that's what occurred here. And Alder Gisselman, it had been his brainchild and had asked, you know, my thoughts on the topic and if I wanted to sign on and participate as the second member of the council. And I did want to do that. I'll tell you that he's someone that I have deep respect for and has done a lot for Wausau. With some of the issues specifically around the holiday time that had kind of stimulated some of my interests and concern on the topic. Some of that had just come from everyday citizens, not directly involved, but at least one nonprofit that's focused on outreach to the unhoused. And I received a good deal of information on the ground from that outfit in terms of some gaps in coverage for shelter during extreme temperatures. So in terms of that specific example, that was kind of the process and the information source there. Some of the other stuff, like the discussion on potentially a new department at some point, that had actually been informed by a Human Resources Committee meeting discussion and the history of Wausau. We had a city public health officer at one time.
We got to check our national and local news. We're going to come back with you in a few minutes. Is that okay? Make sure.
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. Again, we're talking to a District 3 Alder, Tom Killian, again from the Wausau City Council here on Bow Falls Radio. We have a CBS News update coming up here in just a moment. We'll have a Civic Media News update as well. Very busy night down in Madison, of course, with the State of the State address coming up. So we'll hear about that as well. Then more to come here on the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. With you until 4 o'clock, and then from 4 until 7, it will be the Devil's Advocates, a special extended edition of the Devil's Advocates coming up on Civic Media and Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Again, we're talking to Tom Killian, the District 3 Alder for the city of Wausau here on the program. We're talking again about what Tom and Gary Gisselman brought forward to have a committee of the whole discussion on the homelessness issue. Okay, we got that. You got that through after a little bit of discussion. Before, actually, I'm going to go back one step. Why was it difficult? Because from the outside, it feels like that should have been a slam dunk to discuss an important issue to our community. Why was that difficult?
Yes, I think it should have been slammed. I was anticipating just more unanimous support and interest in having this meeting. It turned into, surprisingly, a more contentious topic than I would have anticipated. And I can only speculate, and I think we see this in different realms, if there's the perception that the established or conventional paradigm is being challenged in any way, I think it can sometimes provoke a defensiveness or a feeling that it's personal, where in this case, that's completely not the scenario. It's a critical topic, and I think we haven't had a chance to have a discussion like this, particularly with a couple of the items we proposed. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a little unfortunate that it was so contentious, but the positive is I guess we will be having the discussion.
Yeah. I would say personally, the only personal aspect of that is the people that are being affected by the issue.
So, absolutely.
All right. What are the ideas? Because now that you have an opportunity to move the next step, what are the ideas that you have in mind in terms of what I think is a vital issue right now in our community?
So along with the request for the meeting, there was a draft of some items for the potential agenda, and it included kind of a review of the city of Wausau's activities to date on unhoused matters, but also having someone from the county attend the meeting and provide also a summary of the county's role and involvement in these matters, because that has been surprisingly infrequent, talking about not just, hey, as a council and as a city, you know, how are we addressing these issues, but, you know, how does that perhaps integrate or dovetail with what the county's doing, or, hey, what is even the county doing? They've got a social services department, a health department. City of Wausau has neither. You'd assume there'd be a critical role for the county, so having them come and provide a summary, but also having input and a summary from service providers and nonprofits, and also the ability for the public to come and give input and comment and different ideas and concerns they may have. But finally, there was just, and this is an embryonic discussion, it seemed to trigger some real concerns that, you know, maybe Alder Gisselman and I had phoned Havana to launch a communist plot or something because of the terminology. It says discussion on a new Department of Social Development and Action, but it was really just discussion of, hey, we kind of as a city lack the departmental or structural capacity to relevantly deal with some of these issues, and that's why they're often funneled to the police department. Right. So given the city does not have a social services department or a health department, you know, let's just have an initial conversation on, hey, is that something, if it's statutorily allowed, something we might want to look at, or at least having some health and human services related personnel on board in some way. So that was kind of the draft framework or agenda that we had put forth, and it really provides the opportunity for comprehensive input from a variety variety of stakeholders, probably in a way that's unprecedented within the city council chambers.
Do you feel like that's going to occur? Do you feel like you're going to get that information from the stakeholders to be able to make, I would say, intelligent decisions on whether or not it's possible, whether or not it is something that would be not only possible, but something that would be good for the community? Do you feel like this first step has allowed this discussion to start, that you will have the opportunity to get the information you're looking for?
Yes, it's certainly doable and actionable. And in the period between that meeting where the Committee of the Whole was approved and today, you know, we have received inquiries about, you know, what might the schedule availability look like for council members in mid to late February for the meeting. Now, in terms of the county and other service providers, I have not heard yet, and no one, you know, from City Hall has contacted me in any way about this. I have not heard if invitations have gone out, to whom they've gone out. So that's certainly a very doable task and a requirement. So that needs to occur. And with the county, my expectation would be that the county will want to have a grasp on what specifically are you asking us to provide a summary on, you know. And furthermore, you know, if it's the say the county administrator, he may need to take it before the board to, I don't know if it would require approval, but at least have involvement to see, okay, the county's been invited to give this summary. Are there objections? So I'm hoping that's happening on the city back end right now, but I have not heard anything about it.
Do you feel like this is the time to take, again, I'm going to use another sports metaphor here, slam dunk earlier, a big swing at a big issue? I mean, does it feel like this is the time that you have to look at maybe a little outside the box from what's been happening previously?
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's urgent, and especially just seasonally urgent. I mean, later in the month, from around January 28th to February 5th, we're looking at below zero temperatures. And I think on the 3rd, it might be negative 12. And there's no time like the present, I think, to approach and address critical issues. And that in no way, I think, dismisses all of the good things that have been done to date, but it's more of an opportunity. Hey, we need to move the needle more. How can we discuss ways to improve upon what's already occurred, or brainstorm together as a larger community what are people's, you know, thoughts and concepts they may have to further address these things?
What are you hearing from the people? Sometimes we talk about all these organizations within the government agencies. For the people of your district, what are they saying about this particular issue?
Sure. I think I've been contacted frequently and had discussions about it, and I think residents find it a very important issue. And as we talked about earlier, this spans the political spectrum. So left, right, center, you know, it's a very important issue that in terms of humans and humanity, and I'm seeing a lot of concern and compassion from the Wausau people, and I think they feel that this should be a priority. And if our goal as a government and our role as a government is to identify and satisfy citizen needs, then certainly in terms of kind of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, this should be a top priority, that people do have a shelter, that they have food and clothing. And I just think there's been a real positive response from the Wausau people as a whole.
And I imagine that along that line, they have to make sure their voices are heard at the council, correct?
Yes, that's absolutely.
To talk about it in small groups, or I imagine you know what is very effective in order to get things done with the council. And I imagine one of the things is actual public input that says we want this done.
It's critically important. And, you know, for example, last night we had a neighborhood meeting, Southwest Side, and it was really well attended, and people vocalized their opinions on a variety of city matters. And I'll tell you, if that number of people were to show up at council meetings on those relevant topics mm-hmm. and show up in those numbers and express themselves with that amount of candor, it would have a policy impact. And I think more and more people are participating more. I think for whatever reason in the past there was a greater sense of futility, real or perceived, mm-hmm. you know, that this may not make a difference. I'm not going to bother. I'm seeing a more citizen involvement. But as you point out, yes, unless they come and provide that to my colleagues mm-hmm. and the other department heads and those who are decision makers, it's just certainly not as effective.
The system doesn't work otherwise,
yeah.
to be honest with you. I mean, then all of a sudden, if people vote against the interests of the people they're representing, then there usually is a pushback. And yes. I think you've talked about how you got into this office, that when a representative isn't listening, but if no one shows up and says anything, then the system does not work.
That's right. And I think it can be a barometer of how important the issue is sure. in the community. And it's not always indicative of the level of concern, but mm-hmm. certainly when a lot of the community attends a meeting about a particular topic, I think it sends the message to their representatives, hey, we care about this enough so to be here tonight.
Again, we're talking to District 3 Alder Tom Killian here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Let's talk environmental issues, because as you said, that was one of the big factors that got you into this job in the first place. What are some of the issues you're looking at right now?
Sure. And on the southwest side of the district, there's been kind of a cluster of issues and sites, and the theme from earlier topics carries through about how important I think citizen involvement is. And in this case, letting not only the city know that there was citizen interests and concerns, but the state government with the DNR and at times even the EPA. And so, you know, historically on the southwest side, because we were an industrial city, still are, and, you know, in many ways, there were active industrial sites there, and 3M company still has an active site. That's their oldest operating plant in the entire world. They've been there since 1929. But also, you may remember, Chad, there was the Crestline S&E window factory there, and right across the street had been Connor Forest Industries up until the mid-80s. So all of those sites, whether presently or in the past, have had some serious environmental issues associated with them. I will say the positive is in the last 5 years or so, we as a community have seen the needle move on actions by both the city and the state government, the DNR, to in the context of the DNR, to require, say, environmental testing and remediation. We're going to see that in Riverside Park. We're seeing it on Cleveland Avenue on part of the former Connor property. So that's a high-level overview of that geography and kind of the clustering of these sites. One thing that makes it really unique and important and rather rare today, you know, this they wouldn't site these facilities in this location in the present day or have this right. type of industrial zoning. They immediately border residential properties and produce gardens. So the impact is, you know, I think for everyone, including the DNR's air program and others, the impact is a consideration because of the proximity to a densely populated residential area.
It really is in our communications, we're trying to talk about the layers. That's one of the layers. Again, and you go back 40 years for these places and you're still worrying about it. And we got to take another real quick break, a 2-minute break. Can you hold on for a couple moments?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to come back, have a few more minutes with District 3 Alder Tom Killian as we continue here on this Tuesday. It is Chad Holmes with you until 4 o'clock here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com and mobile devices. And welcome back. One more segment here. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, we're joined by WASA District 3 Alder Tom Killian. Again, thank you for spending so much time with us here today.
My pleasure.
We're again talking, and we're just talking off the air. There's, you know, it's great to hear that Madison and the DNR are helping, but that tends to be sort of a up and down pattern, depending on who's in charge down in Madison. It gets me very frustrated when you hear the stories. You're telling me these stories again about just barrels of waste next to residential areas. If you don't keep a close eye on this, death. I mean, someone working this closely, you gave me some information. How do you respond to this?
Well, sure. I can tell you that there were times when I've looked at records from the past in the neighborhood where I didn't know if it, you know, I was going to cry or get nauseous because they were so sad. And you mentioned health ailments. And, you know, if you go to the Marathon County Courthouse and you look at, you know, cases against Waleka where they've alleged, you know, cancer, endocrine disorders, death, you know, with alleged association to penta use and dioxins in the penta there. I mean, it's very sad. And it's sad to see lists of people, you know, from the neighborhood with these illnesses and ramifications. But you had brought up transparency earlier, and one of the problems when things were really hitting the fan at many of these sites in the 80s is that not a lot of people in the neighborhood really knew the extent of what was going on. And it wasn't until several years ago that I even knew how to or had filed open records requests with various levels of government. And that's how a lot of this data has been acquired. But when you look at just the volume of information just about these sites on the southwest side of WASA, it's staggering. And, you know, I'm also a member of the group Citizens for a Clean WASA. And, you know, we believe if something's citizen-driven and data-driven, then it's generally a very positive thing. And we've tried to use, you know, fact-based research and documentation to bring our concerns to the city and the state government, such as the DNR. And I think it's much more effective to make sure that all the concerns are well documented in order to get a response. But you know, you had also brought up the how things can wax and wane based on, you know, who's in charge. And I've certainly seen that be the case. And in the 80s, you know, there's recognition that some of the DNR personnel now, like in the remediation and redevelopment program, they didn't make some of what we would characterize as these bad decisions in the 80s and 90s, but they're there now. And so the responsibility to try to mitigate those in the present day is there. But some of the things we saw in the 80s that are in the documentation, it kind of blows my mind. And it does show that things wax and wane because I'm not quite sure, you know, if the ball was dropped, if someone took a dive. It's unclear. But, yes, you look at some of the things that happened in the 80s and 90s, and it raises the question, what the heck happened and how did this occur?
Where do we stand now on some of these issues? I mean, you look at it, where are we right now with these areas that you know keep a close eye on?
Sure. Well, there's been some positive outcomes and updates. So in Riverside Park, for years residents around that neighborhood, because some some soil tests had actually been done in 2006 that ultimately showed exceedances of state standards for dioxin in the soil.
Boy, and that, just hearing that makes you just,
Yes, and those had been passed along to both the city and the DNR in 2008. Apparently, even a DHS toxicologist had seen them and said, hey, based on these tests, you may want to do some further testing there to make sure this hasn't migrated to a larger part of the neighborhood. Oh, for whatever reason, that was never done. The neighborhood and residents learn about these test results in 2018. City pushes back hard, did not want to do further testing, but ultimately, after multiple years of requests and pushing from the ground, and I won't go into it, there was a Waleco aerial deposition study that did identify on the city's property an exceedance for dioxin. So ultimately, all of those things combined, the city got a responsible party letter from the DNR due to that exceedance identification and essentially had to do more testing. Fortunately, now the city's consultant, REI, has recommended all of that soil that exceeds state standards be excavated. That's a considerable area of the western portion of the park. That's hopefully going to have a positive outcome after all these years.
I guess the bottom line is that we go back to the beginning, you talked about transparency. If the people that are supposed to be protecting the people are not doing their job, you can't just blame these old crest lines and everyone else in the past. I mean, part of your job, I imagine, you probably take very seriously, is protecting the citizens that you're representing.
It's a top priority in the welfare of the people, whether it's something kind of as striking as this or just in their everyday lives, making yes. sure their welfare is attended to. To me, that's
answering the phone when they have a problem,
yes,
right?
It's a should be a top priority of government.
Representative government.
Yes.
You got to have the representative part along with the government part, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think they're indivisible.
Tom, it's really been a pleasure having you on. It's really appreciate you coming in. I hope we can have you back in sometime soon, continue to talk about some of these very important issues as they continue down the line. And I would say enjoy your meeting tonight.
Oh, I will. And it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on.
Absolutely. Again, District 3 Alder Tom Killian from the Wausau Council. Coming up, we have CBS News at the top of the hour, and then Mike and Dom, the Devil's Advocates, coming up after that. Have yourself a great rest of your Tuesday, and I'll be back tomorrow again from 2 until 4 p.m. for another edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.